Tasmat, therefore, Gavam of the cows, Brahmananam of the brahmanas, Ajahe and of the hill Govardhana, Cha also, Aravyatam, let it begin, Makaha, the sacrifice, Yay, which, Indrayaga, for the sacrifice to Indra, Sambaraha, the ingredients, Tahi, by them, I am this, Sajitam, may it be carried out, Makaha, the sacrifice. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill begin with all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra. Let this sacrifice be performed instead. Repeat, therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill begin with all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra. Let this sacrifice be performed instead. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna is famous as Go Brahmana Hitta, the well-wishing friend of the cows and the brahmanas. Lord Krishna specifically included the local brahmanas in his proposal because he is always devoted to those who are devoted to the godly Vedic culture. So, I'm going to skip over Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary because it's more or less the same as what was in the commentary by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to read a little bit of Jiva Goswami's commentary. Since the cows are our sustenance, we should perform sacrifice for them. Brahmanas were not mentioned in the previous statements but are mentioned here since they are part of the livelihood of all classes. Uttaman God Bhavaj Jashchad Brahmanas chayva dharanat sarvashyaishvasya sargasya dharmato brahmana prabhu. The brahmanas are the chief varna because they rose from the head of the Lord. They are the senior varna because they have knowledge of the Vedas and they give dharma to the other varnas. That's from the Manu Smriti. The forests were mentioned as likely livelihood previously but are not mentioned here because they are not famous as a devata. Thus the mountain takes prominence. Skanda Purana says, Aho, Vrindavana, Ramyam, Yatra, Govardhano, Girihi. Vrindavan is beautiful with Govardhan Mountain. Only one sacrifice instead of three is mentioned because one serves all three. Tad Dravyena, Giri, Dvijan. They presented offerings to Govardhan Hill on the Brahmanas with reverential respect. Ichadri, Go, Dvija, Makam, Vasudeva, Pracho, Titaha. Yatavidhaya te gopa saha krishna vrajam yayahu. The members of the coward community, having thus been inspired by Vasudev to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the brahmanas, returned to with Krishna to their village Braj. That's from the Bhagavatam later on in the same chapter. However, with words Krishna anyatamam rupam, Krishna assumed a form non-different from himself. Govardhan is glorified and considered non-different from Krishna. Thus, Govardhan is the chief object of worship, although there are many mountains in Vrindavan, such as Nandishra and the eight peaks, such as Varshana, Valagiri, and Sogandika. Govardhan is the chief, as understood from the meaning of its name, increaser of cows. By mentioning Govardhan among the mountains in the fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, 19th chapter, text 16, it is also shown to be the principal mountain, the basis of all the other mountains of Braj. It is also famous in worship in local scriptures. It is famous for the festival in which people offer piles of food in front of it at various places, even before Krishna lifted it with his hand. It is mentioned also because of being situated at the front of Vrindavan and being very close. This worship should be performed with materials meant for Indra's sacrifice, since Indra worship was unnecessary, because the devatas were useless in supplying livelihood. In using the material of Indra's sacrifice, there would be no extra labor in gathering materials. This would cause even more anger in Indra. This would produce maintenance of traditional dharma. There would be no different this would be no different from previous actions, since only unsuitable traditions were rejected, while suitable traditions would be maintained. I'm going to skip most of Sanatana Goswami's commentary. I'm just going to read the last line, or the last sentence or so, of Sanatana Goswami's commentary, because it's important in this particular regard. Rejection of Indra was done without consideration, and then he indicates that the people were like sheep following a lead sheep into the river. He says, Gada Lika Purvaha Nyaya. In other words, people were following like a tradition without knowing what the meaning or the usefulness of the tradition was. So let's go back and I'll just read the Sanskrit. One second. The verse, and then we'll talk about it. Tasmat kamam brahmananam antresh charab yatam makaha yadindra yaga sambharas tarayam sadyatam makaha. So, omagana timiranda shaganjana shilakaya chakshur meritam yena tasmai shigare namaha. So, I am so glad that I got this verse because it gives me an opportunity to talk about Govardhan. But before talking about Govardhan, I just want to mention briefly what Sanatana Goswami said about traditions, that yes, traditions are useful. We're not saying we should throw out all traditions, but we should only keep those traditions that actually mean something. That's it. You know, they connect us to Krishna or they accomplish something practical. I mean, you see so many traditions, and I often cite this one in the Western world, such as the tradition of wearing ties and jackets. You know, ties originally came from the bow tie. The bow tie originally came from a napkin that people kept around their necks because they were sloppy while they were eating. So you see, you know, people have these traditions that have no basis in anything. Of course, when we want to fit into a particular culture without creating social disturbances, so we can go in like a pin, out like a plow, then we sometimes have to observe those local traditions. So it actually has a use in that particular regard. But we should keep in mind that there is actually no spiritual purpose to wearing a tie, no practical purpose for wearing a tie. It's just something we do so we fit in, we can give people Krishna consciousness, and we can work in the world. So you really have to keep an understanding of why you do what you do at every minute and not think that this is something, you know, special. Or like last night we were talking about ladies getting pedicures and things like that. It's just different traditions. It's actually funny. So anyway, so that's the first point. The second point is that, so Krishna is showing how we should reject this principle of nimagraha, doing things without knowing why we're doing them, or even if we know why we're doing them, we should also be conscious while we're doing them why we're doing them. In other words, even if you can explain later why you did this particular thing, you know, why when doing arti you touch the nose this way or touch the nose that way, yeah, there's certain mudras and different symbols like that. Of course, I don't know why you do those things. But while you're doing them, you should also be conscious of why you're doing them. Not only should you know theoretically why you're doing them, why you do, you know, the mudras, and of course you don't do those things here. But you should know. It's not just like some fancy hand symbols or something like that. It's the incarnations of the Supreme Personality. Got it, like karma and stuff like that. Anyway, that's one point. So then the question arises, why does Krishna pick Brahmins, cows, and Govardhan? And of course, Brahmins and cows, it's pretty easy to understand, right? Because the Brahmanas, they're the head of society. You understand Varnashram, they're an intelligent class. A body without a head, well, it's pretty stupid, to say the least. I mean, you can't have a body without the head. It's the most important part of the body, although other parts of the body are actually extremely important too, you know, legs and arms, like kshatriyas, you know, the arms, vaishyas, good old belly, and the shudras of the legs. I mean, they're all really important, but without the head, none of them have any importance. So Krishna here is stressing the importance of the Brahman. It's also, If you take the direct literal meaning of the word Brahman, that means one who knows Brahman. So in other words, a real Brahman, whether he is a Krishna conscious Brahman or just like trying for spirituality in some other way, is directing society towards its ultimate goal. Because otherwise society has no goal or no reason for doing anything. For example, you in society you have ethical principles, moral principles, and unless you know what the goal of life is, then moral principles, ethical principles become simply relative, isn't it? It's just relative. You know, why is this right? Why is this wrong? If we don't know that ultimately we're spirit souls and there's the law of karma and ultimately we're supposed to go back to Godhead, not really offering. So ultimately we know we're supposed to go back to Godhead, what the purpose of life is, then actually moral principles, ethical principles, even legal, you know, laws become just like really relative, right? I mean, it's just, you know, why not have an abortion, for example? What's wrong with it? If you don't know that you're not the body, if you don't know the karmic reaction, you don't know that the living entity is there, you don't know that there's a soul and someone experiencing pain, then, you know, what's the difference? Like if you take the scientific approach and you say that, you know, everything is matter and it doesn't really matter. You know, when you're dead, and it doesn't matter what happened before, because once you're dead, it's over, and your consciousness is simply an epiphenomena of matter. It's just an illusion. You're not really conscious. Try to convince someone of that. You know, it's interesting, you go to a scientist who has this particular philosophy, you try to convince him he's not really conscious. He's just a machine. He said, well, that's what we believe, but I'm not going to act like that or allow you to torture me because that will cause me pain. But I'll say to him, but you're not experiencing pain. It's simply a machine. How can you say your computer experiences pain? How can you say that your car experiences pain? Like that, my car experiences pain. Anyway, so really this, it's important to have Brahmins. Okay, and cows, why is it important to have cows? Well, they supply milk, and then of course you also got the bull, and the bull is able to plow the fields before you had tractors, and they fertilize the field and do so many wonderful things. And of course, the cow ultimately is very dear to Krishna. Krishna's land in the spiritual world is called Goloka, and Krishna is the Gopal. He's the coward boy. He loves cows. Cows also bring people to the mode of goodness. Like if you're ever really upset, go hug a cow. People, there's actually farms that charge people to hug cows. You can pay like $25 to go and hug a cow. Of course, you have to make sure the cow is tame. We had one cow here. His name was Gopal. No relationship to the Gopal we have here. But it just like to go up to him was like a rodeo. So that's a different thing like that. But, you know, it just puts you in the mode, just having cows and seeing cows and touching the cows just like puts you in the mode of goodness and pacifies the mind. So that also helps bring one to the higher understanding. And it's part of Brahminical culture. Anyway, there's so many reasons. And milk also enables you, I know I don't take milk, but there's another reason, enables you to develop a finer brain tissue, which Srila Prabhupada said lead to self-realization. And if you don't take milk, then you should take some supplements that actually supplement, give you the things that milk has in different forms, if somehow or other you don't take milk. But, you know, it's an essential ingredient in Vedic culture. And the sages, you can see the sages who were so brilliant, they were taking, some of them were just drinking milk or just taking a pat of butter or some buttermilk every day, which is called chach in India. And they came out with these volumes. Look at Jiva Goswami, the most erudite scholar of all time, not only Vaishnav scholar, but, you know, spiritual scholar or perhaps any type of scholar of all time was subsisting on drinking milk. You know, because the sages would go to people's, householders' houses and just ask for a little milk. at the time, it's described in the Bhagavatam, at the time of milking the cow, they would go there. They would specifically time themselves. Prabhupada said one time about people doing madhukari, how they would collect chapatis. It's funny. He said, there are so many sannyasis who are doing madhukari, collecting chapatis, and so many chapatis, and there's more sannyasis than chapatis, or rotis, he would call them. And years ago, when I was in Vrindavan, Dina Vandaprabhu was describing how there were certain times when there was a chapati run that the people knew that when the householders were making their rotis, making the chapatis, that sannyasis knew, and they would just like run there. But it was very unfortunate because the poor widows didn't get anything. You know, there was some chauvinism there. So it's quite interesting. Anyway, so there's reasons. It's really obvious why the residents of Vrindavan were advised to worship the brahmanas and worship the cows. But what about this hill business? That's what I wanted to talk about. You know, hill? Worship hill? You know, there's a bunch of stones, isn't it? Well, Govardhan is not an ordinary hill. Nor are some of the other hills in Vrindavan, which are mentioned in the purport we just read of Jiva Goswami. Specifically, the Trimurtis. Trimurtis means Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. They take the form of hills in Vrindavan. And of course, Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, takes the form of Govardhan. And you have Lord Brahma, he takes the form of Barshana, because he wanted to serve Srimati Radharani. It's pretty ecstatic. Some of the points I'm making today are coming from the Garga Samhita, because he wanted to serve Radharani. And then because he takes the form of Barshana serving Radharani, Barshana has four peaks to it, which are really nice, because they're four heads to Lord Brahma. And those four peaks, I wrote them down, are called Mangar. And Mangar is where the Mankutir is, where Radharani gets angry at Krishna. So you see all the hills are not just like ordinary in Braj. Man, you know, when you talk about the man, Radharani's man, that means Radharani's anger towards Krishna. And her anger is love. In the material world, our anger is, you know, frustration, hate, kill, all those other nice things that we're accustomed to. When you get angry, I don't want to see your face anymore. But Radharani is angry to please Krishna. So she has her man, so it's man mandir. There's a man mandir there on Mangar. And then there's the Morkutir, Kuti, where Krishna takes the form of a peacock. I mean, it's a really interesting story. I didn't really plan on telling it. But Krishna was associating with Radharani, and her mother-in-law was going to discover her associating with Radharani. So Krishna transformed himself into a peacock, and this peacock was on Radharani's lap, and that's Morkuti. Anyway, a little esoteric for Bhagavatam class. And then there's Valaskar and Dangar, which means basically a pastime place and also a pastime of taxes. You know, where you have Krishna passing through the gopis, passing through like a little crevice, and Krishna just like smashing all their butter pots and everything like that. So that's Barshada. Pretty ecstatic. I don't want to get too ecstatic in class. Anyway, so that's Barshada. And then you have Nandagon, which is actually Nandishara, which is considered an incarnation of Lord Shiva. And, of course, he's serving Nanda Maharaj and the other associates of Lord Krishna. And so it's really interesting. India is really a holy place. The rivers are holy. The mountains are holy. Let's just widen it to India right now. Just like many of us have spent time in Tirumala. And Tirumala is situated on the Venkateshwara Hills. There's actually seven hills there. And these are considered the part of the spinal column of Lord Vishnu. At a particular point, the Christians and the Muslims were actually making some protest that they should also have temples on one of the hills. Of course, that was denied, thank God, on Lord Vishnu's spine, you know. So anyway, so let's talk about Govardhan right now, because Govardhan is very special. And, you know, just seeing that I was doing this verse today, I just became ecstatic because, you know, Govardhan is my favorite topic. And so I'm going to be speaking a little bit from the Garga Samhita. So why is Govardhan special? And what is Govardhan? What is the ontological position of Govardhan? I mean, oftentimes we hear Govardhan is described as Haridas Varya. That means the best servant of Hari. And other times we see Govardhan described as Hari, you know, Krishna, non-different than Krishna. And of course, in the Bhagavatam, he's generally described as non-different from Krishna. So what is his ontological position? And so the Garga Samhita describes the origin of Govardhan in the spiritual world. Because, you know, when you talk about origin, all right, it's not like a time-based thing when you're talking about the spiritual world. The spiritual world, there's no time. It's not. It's something that's always going on. And how to understand that with our little tiny time-based minds, I don't know how. You know, when you consider the constant present. I mean, of course, you know, hopefully I'm always present. I mean, in imitation of that, sometimes drug people write this book like Be Here Now or something like that. But anyway, so it's a constant presence. But there's still a flow of events, but it's not time-bound. How is that? You'll have to go there and see. So anyway, so here's Govardhan's ontological position, and this is pretty ecstatic. So Krishna is talking to Radharani and talking about the beautiful parts of her body, her thighs in particular. So don't project your mundane conception on this, you know, that's, you know, just like someone's lusty after someone else, because her body is steeped in love of Krishna, and Krishna is steeped in love of Radharani. So Radharani is asking Krishna for an arena for the nectar dance, you know, rasa nectar dance. Radharani is requesting Krishna. And Krishna just basically says, this is a story told by Narada Muni in the Garga Samhita. Krishna basically says, okay, so be it. And then he starts to meditate and he looks inside his heart. Such an ecstatic story. And as everyone watched, Krishna's love in a form of fire and water just like manifests from his heart. And falls into the ground near the rasa dance circle. And it grows into giant mountain with many caves. So in other words, Krishna's love, I just want to reiterate what I just said in case you didn't get it. Krishna's love for Radharani manifests as Govardhan Hill. Has everybody got that? So this is really important, who Govardhan Hill is. So it's described that, you know, there were beautiful vines, kadamba bakula, silk trees and everything like that. But there was a problem, because Krishna's love for Radharani is what? Anyone know? Unlimited. So Govardhan begins to expand. I mean, even, you know, there's a material calculation here, but actually in the spiritual world there's no material calculation, but it's just to help us understand because we're here. 800,000 miles, 8 billion miles long. It was became like another Anantashesh. And it grew and grew and grew, and even Goloka Vrindavan, which is a person too, became filled with fear that this Govardhan was going to take over everything. In other words, the love that Krishna feels for Radharani was going to envelop everything, which it has at Goloka. So they asked Krishna, you better stop Govardhan. So Krishna slaps Govardhan, and then Krishna says to Radharani, let's enjoy this Govardhan. And Govardhan has many different parts to it where Radha and Krishna enjoy and have different pastimes. Some of you have seen the picture, the painting I have in my house about the different pastimes of Radha and Krishna that occur around Govardhan. You know, there's tax pastimes, like there's Dhangati, which is the path over Govardhan where Krishna extracts the taxes. There's a place where Radha and Krishna look at each other and they melt with love of each other. Into the ponds as love of each other. It's at the tail of Govardhan. Of course, what to speak of Radhakund and Shyamakund, the Manasa Ganga in the center of Govardhan. I mean, all these different places are eternal places. Of course, they're manifest on the earth planet, but they're actually manifest in the spiritual world. What to speak of the different caves that are there at Govardhan that give places for Radha and Krishna to have that little private pastimes. So there's all these different caves of Govardhan. Is just because Govardhan is a manifestation of Krishna's love for Radharani, he becomes a facilitator of their different pastimes. I mean, it's really difficult to understand this. So it's described in the Garga Samhita that at Govardhan are all the holy places. The holy place, every single holy place is contained at Govardhan. So that's Govardhan in the spiritual world. So what is Govardhan in the material world? So Govardhan, of course you can't say material world, because whenever Krishna or his associates appear, they bring the spiritual world with them, but in this world. So Govardhan in this world came because when Krishna decided to come down to this world, and again I'm using the word when he decided, which is kind of interesting, but there is a progression of pastimes. He says, Radharani, you have to come down too. And she said, I'm not going to that place. You know the story, like Radharani said, I don't want to see any of those rascals in that place. And then she's born blind. And then the first person she sees during her name-giving ceremony when Krishna comes and she smells Krishna's scent is Krishna. And then her eyes open up at that particular juncture. So the same thing, she says, I'm not going there unless, you know, all the paraphernalia that we're enjoying here in the spiritual world is there. I want the Jamuna there, I want Govardhan there, and she goes through a whole list of different things that are there in the spiritual world. And Krishna says, okay, whatever you want, you get. Because she keeps Krishna wrapped around the pinky of her little finger, or the left hand, whatever. So Govardhan comes down as the son of Dronachala, which is another hill, it's connected to another hill. But Govardhan doesn't appear in Vrindavan in the beginning. Govardhan is, in the hills, like the foothills of the Himalayas. And then what happens is that you have this sage, Pulastya Muni. I think everyone knows this story, Pulastya Muni. Wants to have a hill in Kashi because, it's all flat there. And he goes to the father of Govardhan and he says, can I have your son? And the father, of course, says yes, respecting the sages. And the sage is able to pick up this mountain, but there's the deal that if he ever puts him down, then guess what happens? That's what Govardhan stays. So he picks up Govardhan flying through the air, and then Krishna uses his mystic power, Govardhan, who's not different from Krishna, used the mystic power to make the sage have to go to the bathroom. And so he lands, relieves himself, and he tries to move Govardhan again, and Govardhan's now in Braj or Vrindavan. And he gets really angry because he had this whole plan. If you're frustrated, you get really angry. Sometimes, I get angry if something doesn't happen the way I was supposed to happen. So this sage is angry, and he gets super angry. And when sages get angry, they curse. And he cursed Govardhan to shrink by the size of the mustard seed every day. And that's why he was so big when he was put down, and then he keeps shrinking. But actually, that's an exoteric understanding. The real reason Govardhan is shrinking is when Krishna left the planet, he couldn't bear the separation from Krishna, so he's sinking into the earth. And part of Govardhan you can't even see anymore. He's actually under the earth, what we call the upper half of the hill towards Radhakund. Mostly he's under the hill. And the other part, he's not that high. Not that high as he used to be. And actually, even today, even the last few years since I've been visiting Govardhan, I've seen he starts going down a little bit like that. So that's the ontological position of Govardhan. And just one other story I wanted to tell really quickly. This is also from the Garga Samhita in the third canto, chapter 10, about how powerful Govardhan is, the Govardhan Shilas are. Because Govardhan Shilas are considered part of the transcendental body of Krishna. But as I said before, the transcendental manifestation of Govardhan is very much connected with Krishna's love for Radharani. So the worship of Govardhan, therefore the worship of Govardhan, is not just contrasting it with this ritualistic worship of Indra. It's simply ritual based on, tradition. But the worship of Govardhan is not even Vaidhi Bhakti. The worship of Govardhan is Raghunuga Bhakti. It's spontaneous. Like in the temple, we have the Vaidhi Bhakti rules. We offer at a certain time of the day, and we're trying to be punctual. I remember in the early days, I would stand by the door with my watch and count 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, get on the altar, and terrorizing all the pujaris. No, I don't do that anymore. Perhaps I should. But anyway, so that's Vaidhi Bhakti. And, everything's very punctual, certain time, certain standard offer. But the relationship with Govardhan, because Govardhan manifests Krishna's love for Radharani, is actually, you can't even mention or describe, but it's more on a spontaneous, not more, it is on the spontaneous platform. So, anyway, just want, oh my God, I don't have time for this story. Too bad. Anyway, I'll tell the story in 10 seconds or less. There was a Brahmin who went to Braj to sort of like pay his debt to the forefathers and everything like that. And then he went to Braj and he got a Govardhan Shila. And when he was leaving Braj, he had his Govardhan Shila. There was a big Rakshasa with many heads and many tongues and many arms and everything that attacked him. And he didn't have any weapon to defend himself against this big Rakshasa. And he was just thinking, well, this is all I have. And he threw the Govardhan Shila at the Rakshasa. And the Rakshasa turned into a great Vaikuntha Vasi. And there's actually statements of the Garga Samhita that simply seeing Govardhan, the person attains the supreme goal of life. And there's many comparisons here. Although one has committed many sins, if one sees Govardhan, which is called Mount Mangala, it's called the auspicious mountain, one attains a spiritual form. There's no other holy place as sacred as Govardhan. So here, in this particular verse, we're being introduced to the worship of Govardhan, and I am very thankful that Krishna gave me this verse today. Yeah, we have one near the river. There actually is a Govardhan hill. Okay, on that happy note, we will... Radha Govardhan Shila. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, Radhe. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe, Radhe, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Radhe. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, Govinda, Radhe, 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 Govinda, Govinda, Radhe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radhe Radhe Govinda Govinda Radhe 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 Govinda Govinda Radhe Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rana Gopinna Nuradha, Gopinna Nuradha, Hey. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Asutada Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Vaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nago Pekabatnath Shyam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai
Acharnam Ki Jai Dikapatsnami Ki Jai Kijai, Srimati Palasthi Dev, Kijai, Vrindi Kijai, All glories, all glories, all glories, all glories, all glories, all
Chetu darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam treyakairavya chandrika vitaranam vidyavadu jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita svadhanam sarvatmasnapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrapitani Amitas Maranena Kala Etadrishita Vakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Dordaiva Midrishamiha Nani Raga Trinada Pisunichena Tarora Pisuhishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadaram Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadishakamae Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Hoitiki Twai Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Buddha Kripayatava Pada Pankajas Tita Duli Sadrishim Vachintaya Nayanam Galara Shudaraya Varanam Gadgara Rudaya Gira Pulakir Nishitam Vapukada Tavanamagrahaneva Vishyati Yuga Yatam Namishena Chakshusha Pravashayatam Shunayatam Jagat Sarvam Govindam Virahena Me Ashlishava Padam Ratam Panastu Mam Adarshanam Marmahatakurotuva Yatatata Vavindata Rampato Mat Prananatastu Saivanapara Victory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Oh, my Lord, congregational chant of your holy name alone. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. My Lord, by kindness you enable us to easily approach you by your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. O Almighty Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, nor do I desire beautiful women, nor do I want any number of followers. I only want your causeless devotional service, birth after birth. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms of your lotus feet. O my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up and when will the hairs of my body stand in at the recitation of your name? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall remain so, even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always worshipable, unconditionally.